Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Finances with Francine and Friends. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure and delight to be with you. If this is your first time tuning in to the broadcast, we thank you so very much. To our longtime listeners, we thank you as well. We couldn't do this show without you. Our mission is to share information, updates, guest highlights, and keep you educated on all things financial. That's why we're so excited each week to bring on guests to discuss economic development and the effects on your quality of life. Today, my special guests are Michelle R. Ewing and Kevin A. Green of Five Rings Financial. Michelle and Kevin will be sharing with us their journey on the road to financial freedom and a few tips and maybe a secret or two. So for more information, please give me a call at 757-567-6734. This show is being hosted by Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show with yours truly and Veronica McMillan. We are going to bring on Michelle and Kevin because we're going to get started with our absolutely wonderful topic today. Hello, Michelle. Hello, Kevin.
How you doing, Francine? I'm not sure if you can hear
fantastic.
Michelle or not. But
I can hear you, Kevin. Don't hear Michelle yet, but
right.
You'll join us in just a few minutes. So how's your day so far?
It is extremely busy today, but that's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's been busy, just one thing after the other, but, you know, it's all in what we do and how we do it, and we just keep smiling and rolling on through it.
There you go.
Okay, yep. And I am here. Hate to keep you waiting, but I know y'all were waiting. I am doing well this beautiful Friday, Francine. I really cannot complain. I feel truly blessed to be able to be on here with you and Kevin. How are you doing today, Kevin, even though you're from Manhattan?
You know, the queen had to wait and make her entrance. That's why she delayed herself here.
Yes, yes.
She probably did it on purpose.
Absolutely, darling.
Oh, boy. I'm doing fine, Michelle. Thank you for asking.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know today we're going to be talking about something that is probably on a lot of people's mind right now, and the subject is first-time home buying and some of the ways we can protect and utilize some of the services that we offer at Five Rings Financial. So we want to jump right into that, and I think I wanted to share just one thing with anybody that's listening, and if you are a first-time home buyer, there are so many programs out there, but I always suggest that you get with a lender, find out what you qualify for first, and then start making your decisions. Don't ever be house poor trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's just my two cents worth. Always consider your income, consider your debt, and get a house that you can afford. And don't buy the first thing that you see. Shop around, get comparisons, get grants. And whatever's out there available to you, because there's so many things. I just talked to a realtor on Tuesday, I believe it was, and she was telling me how there are no houses to buy because as soon as they come on the market, they're swept right up. So this is a perfect time to talk about this topic. And I know even in my neighborhood, our houses are only staying on the market 1 or 2 days, and then they're gone. So it's a great time to buy. Yes. So, yes. So if you're looking to buy, this information will definitely help you today, and if you need more information, we're going to give you our contact information where you can reach out to us, and we can possibly help you with some of the things that you're going to need and get you to where you need to be. So that being said, Michelle, what's something that first-time home buyers should be on the lookout for?
Well, I just want to piggyback on what you said first, Francine. You know, right now, you're exactly right. Right now, mortgage interest rates are at an all-time low, you know, despite this whole COVID thing and because of this whole COVID situation that's going on. So many first-time home buyers are taking advantage of these all-time low interest rates. And one thing that they need to be aware of going into this are hidden expenses, right? If you're just getting into the home buying game, chances are you feel a little bit overwhelmed already. And although purchasing a home for the first time can be really exciting, it can be very stressful. And anybody who's been through this process, I know all of us on this phone have been through this process. We can probably share a story or two about a hidden surprise, a hidden expense that came up along with our dream home. And some of us are still working on our dream home. But some of the common costs that can pop up unexpectedly when you're purchasing a home, you must be prepared for. So first things first, before we even get into those hidden costs of home ownership, we need to talk a little bit about how to help handle those costs when they arrive. So if you're getting ready to buy a home, like Francine said, take your time, you know, go and seek out, use some professionals that can help you with searching for your mortgage, buying your home. But if you don't have an emergency fund, you may want to strongly consider holding off on that purchase because you don't want to be house poor, just like Francine said. Until you do have an emergency fund established, it's recommended that you just hold off. You know, you want to have at least $1,000, but preferably you want to have between 3 to 6 months of your expenses, including the mortgage that you're planning on paying. Okay, an emergency fund is our most fundamental finance tool that we can have in our toolkit. It's like that toolbox itself that holds all your other financial tools. So I know any men that we have listening, even some women, let me not be sexist because I got a toolbox. So my assumption is one of y'all ladies, a couple of y'all ladies got some pink toolboxes out there just like me. Mine's got to be pink because, you know, it's got to be cute, right? So before, you know, you have your toolbox that you put your tools inside of it so that you can keep them safe and keep them all together. You know, they won't get corroded, things like that. So your emergency fund is actually your foundational tool. That's like having your hammer, right? That's your hammer. You want to have that. Everybody got a hammer. Even those of us ladies that don't have a toolbox, we got a hammer somewhere. So you want to have that first. So before you even start shopping, you might want to think about building your emergency fund. That's foundational.
Great. Absolutely, and that's some great information because you don't want to get blindsided by what Michelle called unexpected expenses. So we're going to follow up with right and go right into that with Kevin. What's another hidden expense that you think they should be aware of, Kevin?
Well, you always have to think about this. If your dream home or if your starter home, you're just getting started, happens to be in a neighborhood that has a homeowners association, those HOA fees are something you have to prepare to pay. They may be charged on a monthly basis, they may be quarterly or annually, but there may be fees associated with the homeowners association. Now, the homeowners association will, you know, charge a fee if just to make sure that the maintenance of the external area is upkept to their standard. And also, they can, this is something not everybody thinks about, but if you are not keeping up your area, like keeping your grass mowed like you're supposed to according to the HOA regulations, the HOAs can actually impose fines in addition to their monthly or their quarterly or annually fees. And you have to keep that in mind. So you have to budget for that whenever you're looking in a neighborhood that has an HOA. Now, not all neighborhoods have an HOA, and there's an upside to purchasing a home that doesn't have an HOA, and that is you can do whatever you want to do with it. The downside with that is without an organization coming in to keep everything uniform, property values of those houses sometimes can rise and fall based on what your neighbor is doing with their house. And that's some of the benefits of having the HOA is keeps all of your neighbor's houses and all of their front lawns and everything manicured so when you are ready to sell that starter home to step up to your dream home, your property values will be enhanced by the look of the neighborhood. So keep in mind those homeowners association fees.
And one thing I just want to jump in right here. A lot of times if you're coming from an apartment or a rental property, or you, if you're a first time, say young person, and this is your first home and you always live with your parents, they don't really think about everything now belongs to you. Is your refrigerator, is your stove, is your garbage disposal, is your windows is your door. So if any of these things in your house need to be repaired or replaced, you have to replace them. And I think sometimes people get taken aback by the fact that there's nobody to call. You can't call the landlord. You are the landlord. So they have to really, really start thinking about that. Am I going to have enough money to take care of something if it should break down? Of course, there are warranties and things we can put on our appliances and things, but a lot of people don't think about them. And some of them do come with the first-time home buyer. So that's one thing that they should ask about. Is there a warranty with the appliances in this home if it actually comes with appliances? So I thought that would maybe help somebody out there listening. Okay. Michelle, we're going to go right back to you. Yes, let's keep this rolling. Can you think of anything else or anything else somebody should know about hidden fees and that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. What you were just talking about, maintenance costs. That falls under maintenance costs. Everything that you just said falls under maintenance costs, right? So if you've been living maintenance-free your whole life in an apartment or a rental home, like you said, there is no calling the landlord, right? The cost of maintaining a house that you own may absolutely come as a shock. People can get sick of shock off of that, right? It's like even new homes, this is what people have to realize, even new homes require maintenance. It requires lawn care, pressure washing. You got to clean out the rain gutters. You got to paint it every couple of years. You know, there's always something that's going to be needed to be upgraded or repaired on a home. And many first-time home buyers are not prepared for that expense. So if you know, and so one thing you might want to do as a general rule of thumb is to budget about between 1 to 3% of the value of your home for maintenance per year. So you want to put some extra money to the side. For example, if you buy a $250,000 home, you should prepare yourself to start saving about between $2,500 and $7,500 per year in preparation for maintenance costs. Like, for example, I ain't cutting no grass. Y'all know I'm from Brooklyn, right? I go out here and put concrete down all over the front of my house. I could care less, right? But I live in Virginia Beach, and they just got to have some grass growing up everywhere.
Yes.
So, you know, yes. I think I'm a diva, so I can't be having my yard looking crazy and everybody else's is looking good. So I have a young man that comes and he cuts my grass for me twice a month or sometimes even more depending on the weather. It's been raining a lot, so he might come every week and a half or something like that. And I pay about $40 every time he comes. So that's a maintenance cost that I ain't going to do that I transfer on to somebody else. So we got to think about stuff like that, the pressure washing and stuff. So, yeah.
Great, and that's great that you speak about that. And then what happens, like, for me, and I can tell because I can talk about myself, when your lawnmower breaks down, like mine did today, and my husband had did, like, four circles around the yard, so we looked like we were going to plant something out there in the front. Because, actually, one of the blades broke off, so it's high and low, which is the weirdest-looking thing. It's like a spaceship landing in our front yard. So now we have to either fix the lawnmower or find somebody to come and cut the grass. So my husband says he can fix it, which he's a handyman, so which is good. But suppose you don't have that. Suppose you don't have a handyman. What are you going to do? So
well,
I got a
good guy that cut grass.
Okay. So I'll let you know, Michelle.
You
I
need
him to run on over
you
here.
Let me know if you need him.
Okay, I will.
I'll lend him out.
Okay, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank
you. Yes, ma'am.
Well, he probably going to have to charge me a little bit more because he going to be like, this is not the regular looking grass, right? So I'm fine with that. Kevin, do you have anything you want to add to that as we're, you know, thinking about things that people should be aware of and should be thinking about, and maybe it didn't cross their mind?
Absolutely. I'd like to talk a little bit about private mortgage insurance. Now, you know, typically mortgage lenders will require or ask for 20% down for your mortgage just for their own safety and own security. But sometimes, especially when you're in a first-time home buying situation, you may not have that 20% to put down. You may only have 3 to 5% to put down. And you can purchase what's called private mortgage insurance,
And what that does is that insurance is for the lender. It is not for the homeowner. It's for the lender. And it guarantees that if you, as your first-time homeowner, or you know, you default on making your mortgage payment, that insurance will kick in to make the lender whole. And, of course, there's a fee associated with it. So if you are in one of those situations where you don't have the 20% down, you may have to purchase this, a private mortgage insurance. Now, the thing about private mortgage insurance is once you have built up equity in your home and you've built up enough equity to cover that 20%, you can actually stop paying this this PMI. But it's something you have to do proactively. It won't automatically stop when you reach 20%. You have to proactively say, hey, look, I've reached the 20%. I have 20% equity in a home. I want to stop paying this so you can stop paying that fee. That's something that new homeowners may not be aware of, that they need to be aware of. Otherwise, they'll be paying money for insurance that's, you know, beyond the point of the use of the insurance.
So, Kevin, do you know, and if you don't, if you can't answer this, just off the top of my head, does everybody have to pay PMI, or is it optional?
No, if you have the 20% down that your mortgage lender is looking for, then you don't have to pay P&I. P&I insurance comes in when you don't have that 20% to put down for your new home.
Okay.
And you only have 3 or 5%, even 10% to put down for your new home. You would purchase this additional PMI insurance as a way of ensuring your lender that if you ever defaulted on your mortgage payment, the lender would still be made whole by this insurance policy paying the lender. So if you can put down the 20%, you don't have to have purchase PMI.
Okay, great, and that's good to know because people may not know that. You know, as most people, when they're buying their home, they think everything is rolled all into the payment. You know, they don't even think they have to buy extra stuff outside of the regular mortgage payment and the insurance and the taxes. There are quite a few other things that we won't even get into today that they have to pay. So, Michelle.
Well, Francine,
before you move on,
I'm going to make sure this is clear, Francine. That the PMI insurance payment can all be wrapped in the mortgage payment that you're making, which is why you have to proactively stop paying it when the time comes.
Mm.
You know, once you have that 20% equity, you have to contact say, look, I want to discontinue that insurance because I now have 20% equity in a home. If you don't proactively do that, they will continue to collect it as part of the lump payment that you're making in your mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do I get my money back when they figure out that I don't need this anymore? Or do, just like you said, I have to call them, right?
No.
It's my job. I'm supposed to remember when I get to the 20% that I need to call somebody and let them know I don't need to pay this anymore. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right?
You need to call and make the adjustment and discontinue that coverage because you don't need it anymore.
Okay. That's great to know. Michelle, I heard you jump in there.
Yeah, no, you're just going to have to take that one on the chin. Look.
I'm going to be mad too when I find out.
Yes. And while he's talking about PMI, you know, that brings up the next thing that I was going to talk about was home insurance. That's different. The homeowner's insurance is separate from the PMI. So we don't want people to get that confused, right? The PMI protects the insurer. The homeowner's insurance protects you, you know, and they may get some sticker shock when it comes from that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Homeowner's insurance is typically significantly more expensive than purchasing a renter's policy. So if somebody has been renting, you know, for up until that time because they've been living in someone else's property, they have only had to take care of their stuff that's inside of the house. They haven't had to take care of anything structurally. Okay? So now that you're a homeowner and you're getting a homeowner insurance policy, you taking care of it all is supposed to make you whole again as far as your house. PMI makes the actual finance company, the mortgage company, whole again. Your homeowner's insurance makes you whole again, okay? And if you live in an area prone to natural disasters, like sometimes we are here in Virginia Beach, be prepared to pay top rates for homeowners insurance. If you live near a body of water, they may also want to consider, and they may need, it may not even be in their control, they may actually need to purchase flood insurance as well as their homeowners insurance, because having homeowners insurance does not automatically cover flooding.
That is true. And a lot of people say, well, it really doesn't flood in that area, but you don't know when it is going to flood in your area. So you want to be prepared and not stuck out there, because if it is flood damage, your homeowner's policy will not pay it. I wonder, Michelle and Kevin, while we're on this subject, how many people actually read their homeowner's policy to know just what
Well, I do because I'm an insurance professional, right? But most people do not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to chime in there, Francine. I'm gonna have to chime in there. I practiced law for over 20 years, and I can't tell you how many people have come into my office because they didn't read the contract that they signed, and now something is going on, and they don't like it, and they're coming in trying to figure out a way to get out from underneath it. But it was right there in black and white in the contract that they signed. So that said, I would have to venture that there are probably a significant number of people out there that have not read their insurance policy.
Wow. And my background is real estate paralegal, and I know they don't read it because they called us back and said, well, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, it's in your policy or it's not in your policy. Did you read it? And I tell them, I say, go home when we finish the closing. Take this package home and read through it. If you have any questions, let us know. But do they do that? Do they don't? So, you know, and that's with any policy, even our life insurance policies. We go over it with our clients, and we ask them to read it. They don't. And then when something happens, we got to really explain it. But that's a part of our job, so we don't mind doing that. Okay, so, Kevin, anything else you want to throw in there before we move
Absolutely.
On to the next question?
Absolutely. The last thing you just said was something about life insurance, and that's what I want to talk about, life insurance. I know it's everybody's least favorite topic, but when you're purchasing a home for the first time, or even when you're upgrading to your dream home, life insurance could be an instrumental part in protecting your home, your asset. And we rope it into a mortgage protection policy by matching the term of your life insurance to the term of your mortgage. If you have a 30-year mortgage, you get a 30-year term policy. 20-year mortgage, you get a 20-year term policy. And with Five Rings Financial, all the life insurance policies that we issue have what's called living benefits, which works two ways. If you become, you have a critical injury or some critical or negative life event and you can't work, but you still have your mortgage payment to pay, with life insurance, you can actually take cash tax-free from your insurance policy, and you can use it for your home working during this temporary negative life event. So life insurance can help you keep the roof over your head and keep your creditor from knocking your door saying, well, you're not making mortgage payments in that situation. Or if you do, life insurance policy will pay. So if you have a spouse or a significant other that you're living in that home with, they now have the freedom of staying in that home knowing that that mortgage has been fully paid off with your life insurance policy. So a living benefits life insurance policy, a term policy, can protect you two ways when you have that first home. It can protect you in case something happens to you, but you're going to survive that negative life event. But it can help you have income coming into your house while you're convalescing. And if you were to pass away, it helps to preserve that asset for your spouse or your significant other. A lot of people will say, well, if my spouse passes away, then I'm going to downsize and won't need this home. And that may be true. But the last thing you want to do when your spouse just passed away is literally pack up everything in your house and go house hunting to find a smaller location and move to it. Mm-hmm. That is not going to be on your mind.
So having this homeowner's protection, this mortgage protection, with your living benefit life insurance, will allow that surviving member to stay put, to grieve for the time period they need to grieve, and then when they're ready and they want to downsize, they, one, can find, you know, take their time finding another location to go to. They can also look at what's going on with the housing market. And if, you know, housing market right now is that time is up, then they sell their home. If it's down, they might not want to sell their home. But they're not forced to have to do it because, you know, half of their income coming into the home is now gone and they can't make the mortgage payment. So living benefits life insurance, and we're going to talk about life insurance, but living benefits life insurance to serve that dual purpose of helping keep that roof over your head.
Great, and that's good to know. And, of course, anytime there's a life event, you are not thinking clearly anyway, so why would you want to pack up and move without having thought about it clearly, because you're not thinking clearly, and so you may make a mistake and get into something that you can't handle when you're going through a devastating period of your life. So that's great information, Kevin, because I think a lot of times we try to figure out ways to get around doing something that we don't want to do. And so just thinking about having that protection, you know, could actually give you peace of mind and you don't have to worry about it, just like Kevin said. Michelle, how much more does a living benefits policy cost in comparison to a traditional life insurance policy, and how is cost determined?
Well, it costs about the same amount in comparison to a traditional life insurance policy, which, you know, at Five Rings we affectionately refer to as a death insurance policy, right? So if you're going to get a regular death insurance policy, you may as well get a living benefits life insurance policy, because it's the type of insurance you don't have to die to use. And the cost is determined by, you know, what type of insurance you get it first, you know, in the first place, whether you get a term insurance policy or a permanent insurance policy, and depending on the amount of money that you have will determine which one we actually put in place for you. Sometimes we use term, sometimes we use permanent and pay into it for a certain amount of time. Okay, so that's the first thing, is the type of policy you select, and then how the cost is calculated is the insurance companies estimate the cost of life insurance policies based on your risk factors. Right, they gather all this information. We've used LexisNexis, and the risk factors that they use to determine it is your demographics, so your age, your weight, your gender, and your health. You know, they're going to want to know if you smoke, and they're going to want to know about other health-related issues you may have. Having health-related issues does not automatically disqualify you, so don't allow that to scare you away. Of course, the amount of death benefit that you want, that's how much face value you want. Do you want a $250,000 policy, a $500,000 policy, or $1 million policy? It all depends on how much income you are trying to replace. Your lifestyle is going to matter. Certain habits that you have can affect the cost of your policy. If you ride a motorcycle regularly, they want to know, you know, if you go skydiving, do you swim with sharks? Kevin, you know, they're going on all that kind of stuff, whether or not you do that. Yeah, and you got a real daredevil over there that says things like convalescent, you know, while you're convalescing, you know, and they're going to want to know different things about your lifestyle. So your risk is directly proportional to your life insurance cost, okay? The risk of your death will occur ultimately determines how much your life insurance costs. So that's why the younger you are, the less the policy will cost, because as we age, you know, it becomes more expensive to insure us. So you, if you want to purchase your insurance while you're older, do know that it's going to cost you more.
Absolutely. All right, we got about 42 seconds. So, Kevin, can you tell people how to register for any upcoming events and seminars?
Absolutely. You can go to our website. It's the number 5, the letter rfeast.eventbrite.com. That's 5rfeast.eventbrite.com. All of our free workshops and seminars are on that website. You can go, you can register, and we'd love to see you there.
Great. Michelle, you want to tell people how they can contact you?
They can contact me by reaching you or emailing me at michele.ewing, the number one, at gmail.com.
Awesome. And Kevin, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at my email address, which is kevin@fiveringsfinancial.com.
Absolutely wonderful. And if you want to call me, it's 757-567-6734 or f.humphrey@fiveringsfinancial.com. Well, we have come to the end of another exciting show. Thank you so much for coming, Kevin. Yes, I will see you guys on the other side. We'll be right back here next week, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please tell a friend, join us in. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.